All right, Keith. Ready for a little Bill Belichick reaction to the Pats?
Of course I am.
Already a little more there than I expected, to be honest.
I agree.
Wasn't much.
No. But, you know, after week one, they've only won two games. And after the first time they won, it was crickets on Bill's side. So you're like, all right, what's it going to be after the second win? After the week that he probably piled on the most.
Yeah, no, he still did that thing. Oh, for sure he was piling on the most going into the game. But he still did that thing where he's like, well, this was good, that was good. Jets.
Yeah. But he's in a spot where it was kind of, in a weird way, a win-win for him. Because he still despises the Jets.
Yeah.
And I always thought he wanted to leave the Jets open.
What do you think he hates more?
Right now, the Patriots. That's fresher. I think in the long run, it's still the Jets.
Okay. I also think it's the Patriots. He did throw me for a loop a bit when he took that shot at Woody Johnson the other week. Where I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So the Jets' hatred is still
I thought he might leave the
really
door open
there.
To return there.
Yeah.
And even he's like, I don't love it, but like I don't have a lot of options.
No,
so maybe I'll go back.
He hates them so much, he's taking them as a destination off the board.
Yeah, just removed him.
So that's more neck and neck than I thought. But I agree. I think he hates you, the Patriots, more than he hates the Jets. These days.
Right now. Right now he does. But this one he could have spun either way because he would have been thrilled. He's like, oh, the Jets lose. You have that. Like, what a joke the Jets are, especially because they kept Robert Saleh and they didn't hire him and whatever else he's mad about from 30 years ago. Or the Patriots lose and he'd be jumping, he'd be tap dancing all over their grave too. So that was a good spot for Bill Belichick to be in.
No, it was. And look, the Jets are just an absolute mess. And you look at the Patriots, you go, how good was that win? How good are either of their wins? You'll take any wins, of course.
I mean, they can't be choosy.
But you look at the teams they beat. Like, the Jets and the Bengals are two teams on paper before the year started. You might have said, they're not going to beat those teams. How are they going to beat Joe Burrow? How are they going to beat Aaron Rodgers?
Can't do it.
And it turns out both those teams are 2-6, same record as the Pats. The Bengals have a third.
No,
I take
Bengals,
that back.
Bengals have three.
They're 3-5. Yeah. Jets are 2-6, but neither team is good. Both teams have massively underachieved, and both teams, the game the Patriots played them, more lost the game than the Patriots won it. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the Patriots are coming off a 4-win season. They were projected to have...
You'll take any win you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
You just need...
Yeah.
The Patriots need the other team to be complicit. That's all I would say. They're not going to line up and beat anybody. You need the other team to be complicit. The Bengals were. The Jets were.
And that's probably the same thing to be said about 10 or 12 teams in the league, right? Like, they're in that group. There's 10 teams that have one or two wins on the season. So a third of the league is actually in the position the Patriots are. So even though going into last week's game, you could make a case they are the worst team, right? They're the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of the worst teams in the league. Like, look at Carolina. Like, look at some of these other...
Look at Tennessee.
Trash. 1-6. They have a worse record than the Patriots. They have two quarterbacks who stink, right? they're awful. And they're on a first-year coach, too. You know, it's funny. Like, both teams were in a spot where they're like, oh, Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick aren't the guys. It's like, well, are these guys that you have the right guys? Like, who knows? But yeah, there's a lot of bad football week to week, and there's a third of the league stinks. At least a third of the league.
Oh, at least. And you're in that third. There's no doubt about it. But where are you in that bottom third of the league? We can get into it here today on Jones and Keefe. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on who you think Bill hates more these days, you could look at it as a win-win. But who do you think Bill hates more these days? You, the Patriots, or the New York Jets, who he teed off on yesterday on McAfee. We'll get into that here today. You can text the show, 37937, Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can follow along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can watch there, or you can chat, a very healthy chat already underway, and YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We're not going to be all Patriots on the show today. We'll get to the Celtics last night, not Jason Tatum's best game.
No.
But is he squarely in the MVP conversation?
And a good bench performance by a certain little individual.
Peyton Pritchard is just unbelievable. The end of the quarter, like, Doc, what are you doing?
That's his thing.
What are you doing, Doc?
One of my favorite, there's a Doc image after one of Peyton Pritchard.
He's like,
Peyton Pritchard, like 100 threes. He's like, he's bent over. Looks like he's about to throw up. He's like, he's got hands on his knees. Like, he just ran a marathon and his head is down.
More than your larynx fixed.
Oh, my God.
Is what you need.
Yeah, he's not a very good coach. Great guy by all accounts, but he's not a good coach. And maybe he's not. I don't know. I mean, for at least what he gives the public. We don't know really any of these guys, but. Not a good coach. Was hysterical when the Bucks went to him last year. It's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, you really don't want to be a contender? And then it just Peyton Pritchard just rips the heart out of the Bucks is awesome.
So Pritchard, monster performance. Yep. Tatum squarely in the MVP conversation, even despite his performance last night, which wasn't great. We've been promising we're going to get into the comeback on Netflix.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about this.
The whole show, Billy, Nick, myself, Keith, we've all seen all three episodes. We've given you ample time to view it on your own time. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock on the show today. What we like, what we didn't like about the comeback. Spoiler alert, it was a worthwhile watch.
Yes.
We'll also get to Tier Tuesday.
Woo, this is a good one this week.
What do we have?
Well, it's Halloween week.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're asking all our guests their favorite Halloween candy. Some are a little bit more forthcoming than others.
I would say some are a bit more cagey than others.
Sure. So yeah, you got to really get it out of them.
Yeah.
And that's why luckily we got Woodward and Bernstein on the case. We're going to tier candy. It's
nice.
Never been done before in the history of the media, so we are going to do
groundbreaking.
We're going to break some ground
with tiered candy.
Well, what we're doing is we're giving the Patriots a couple weeks off.
Yeah, we did
NBA tiers last week.
Uh-huh.
We're doing candy tiers this week.
Sure.
Next week we'll come back. I think it's right smack in the middle of the football season, and we'll be back to our football tiers. But coming up at 11:20, we will tier Halloween candy.
Sour candy.
All right, we'll see where sour candy ranks.
Sour candy is really more of a category.
We might have to narrow that down a little bit.
Type of candy there.
But I'm excited to talk about that. It's a very spirited debates when it comes to candy.
So that's at 11:20.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. It's also not just a Tier Tuesday, it's Tommy Tuesday.
That's
Tom
right.
Curran at noon.
Oh, my God, what a busy day.
Keith for Madness, 12:45.
That's right.
And Keith, we're burying the lead.
What's that?
D'Angelo's Tuesday.
Oh, the D'Angelo's Tuesday.
Out of my way.
In your face, Nick.
We got first pick in here. It's all delicious. But
goes in there first.
We got first pick in here.
I'm excited for that. That's why I got a little pep in my step. My body just knows that I have.
I was thinking about this today. Does D'Angelo's have a jingle?
We should come up with one.
Do they have a little song? Should we write our own D'Angelo's jingle for D'Angelo's Tuesday? Maybe we should.
I could do that. Or we just play old D'Angelo songs. Remember D'Angelo? He had that one. He had that one video that was sexual.
It was
there. I'm like, this is on the TV?
You were like, camera's going lower, lower,
lower,
lower,
lower. Lower. Yeah, it was aggressive.
It was aggressive.
That was like TV MA.
Yeah. There was cuts on the body. I didn't know existed when I saw that thing. Yeah,
he
for
works
sure.
out.
Just old D'Angelo. That's even better, Keith.
He's well put together, D'Angelo. Probably just because he's eating those subs.
Probably.
Meatball subs.
Steak and
that
cheese.
Didn't
win.
No,
me too. Number nine.
I think they'd like that.
Yeah, me too. How have they missed out on that market?
We might be able to actually get D'Angelo himself. Like, what is he doing these days?
That's a good point. He's probably like $35 on Cameo.
No. Yeah, D'Angelo.
He is alive and well.
Yeah, good.
I just want to double check before we really got into that.
Yeah, Cameo, close on. It could be different tiers.
He's 50 years young, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Real name's Michael Archer.
Michael Archer?
Michael Eugene Archer. Better known by his stage name, D'Angelo.
Number nine!
Yeah, he should be pushing subs. I don't know what he's doing.
Seriously, what a missed marketing opportunity.
What's he up to now?
Speaking of missed marketing opportunities, D'Angelo's must love this, but Mondays are available for lunch sponsorships.
Yep.
Wednesday.
Wide open.
Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday. Maybe just hit us with a bunch of booze.
I'm not going to shout that down.
Yep.
And then Fridays, all wide. D'Angelo's has the market cornered on Tuesdays.
Yeah, you can't have Tuesday. We're going to hang up on you.
We're your Boston lunch spot. And just free genius advertising like we just gave them here today.
D'Angelo, he's fresh off his second coming tour in 2015.
Nice.
So kind of hanging out.
10 years on.
Yeah.
You have another
Bring
one.
Bring it back
next year.
Is he still shredded?
I would imagine he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any updated photos of...
Maybe he grunts in the gym like Courtney and Wiggy were talking about this morning.
Holy mackerel. Did you hear some of that?
I bet that guy grunts in the gym.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I would think he would have to... It's D'Angelo working out.
D'Angelo.
getting his pump on.
What are you doing there? The hang cleans? What do you got going on right there?
Yeah,
you need a spotter for that?
They're working. Buys, tries, deltoids.
Then I go like mid-shaft.
That's my kind of workout.
There we go.
That's where I specialize.
I think this is the mashup that people need, though.
Okay.
D'Angelo.
Anyway, the point is it's a busy day. It's a busy day.
No,
here on Jones and Keefe.
Tuesdays are always great.
Yeah. It's my favorite day of the week. So here's a question for you. Can the Patriots build off their win against the Jets. And I thought Mike Reese had a very interesting note today. On Tuesdays, he typically does, or maybe even Monday night, kind of does his pickup pieces from watching
Reese's
the
pieces.
Film. Reese's
Spoiler
Pieces.
Spoiler alert, my favorite candy.
Spoiler alert. Going to be there on the tiers at 11:20.
High on the tiers.
So he kind of does his takeaways from film.
Yep.
And he stashed this one in at the end. How do the 2-6 Patriots handle prosperity after being given a victory Monday with no mandatory meetings? And so, I don't know, Mike Reese, I always say this, he's not a bomb thrower. He's not like a hot taker. You know, he very much...
He's also not a super homer, which for some reason he's painted as.
But I'm saying, when he has a criticism, I think it's worth paying attention to.
I agree.
And so Reese goes, how are they going to handle prosperity? How are they going to build off this win?
Yep.
It's Tennessee, and Jerod Mayo comes in. He's got his little handshake with Alex Van Pelt, and he says, take half the week off.
Yeah.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Is that the right approach for this team? And can they build off last week?
So I think it is the right approach because, you know, I remember watching, like, whether it was Hard Knocks in season or just some of the NFL film stuff. And after a big win, there are a lot of times in the locker room, there's a lot of guys sort of like chirping the coach, being like, Wednesday, we'll see you Wednesday, we'll see you Wednesday. And he's like waiting for the coach to say that.
And they're like, yeah!
And they all go crazy.
Yeah,
veterans, rookies, everybody goes crazy for it. And so I think if he hadn't called them soft the week before, he probably wouldn't have done it. But it's the combination.
So it's a make good.
I think it's
buying back his locker room.
He's
is
like,
what
thank
it is.
God. Yeah. No, he's like, because he needed it so badly.
Yeah.
So he's like, we have a 6-game losing streak. I called you soft. If we lose to the Jets in the shape that the Jets are in, oh my God. Like, my job might be in trouble. Everybody's job might be in trouble. Like, this is a mess of a season with 9 games to go. So they win the game. I actually think it was the right call. Like, I don't think, honestly, they're going to win or lose on Sunday because they had Monday off. I think it was sort of a, all right, guys, like, I probably shouldn't have called you soft in the media. You at least came out there and played hard. Can we kind of start over together? And I think that's what they're going to do.
So I don't think they're missing out on, like, whatever meetings they do on Monday.
Yeah, like film and stuff.
Yeah, that's not it. It's just the message of, hey, let's throttle back. We won, let's throttle back, let's party. We won, let's party. You won your 2nd game of the year against a Jets team that might be a bigger dumpster fire than you are.
I think they are.
So on the one hand, you can look at it and say, well, Tennessee's really terrible, and it's a winnable game, and if you're ever going to coast on a week, this is a team you could maybe coast against. However, we just illustrated it. The teams you beat are bad. The Bengals are bad. The Jets are bad. And
Titans might be worse.
They are worse, but they needed to be complicit.
Yep.
And you weren't able to beat them. The Jags are bad, Keith. The Jags are worse than the Jets and the Bengals.
Couldn't beat them.
You couldn't beat them.
Nope.
You need the other team to be complicit. And coasting on a week like this, saying, take Monday. It's not about the missed meetings. It's about the message. How do they handle prosperity? This is Reese talking. This isn't me.
No, I get it.
How do they handle it? I don't love the approach.
I look at it the other way. I think he needed to do it. I think he needed to because he screwed up. He stepped in it. And if it was just... You'd lost 6
in
a row.
Okay, but now you're still paying for him calling the team soft last week?
I think it was sort of a make. Well, yeah, because I think he kind of owes them. They're the ones that went out there and played and didn't quit and didn't bail on him. And maybe they kind of are thinking it. Maybe they played more for themselves than for him. It's hard to really know. But they won the game. And I think it was so important to Mayo. And he said, all right, I'm gonna do this. So, again, we'll see. Mike Reese might be onto something. And, you know, depending on how they look and all that other stuff. But I think it's actually a better thing. It is a long season. It looked like it was going to be even longer, but they at least snapped that long losing streak. So I don't hate the reward for a win.
A soft team takes off Mondays. That's what a soft team does.
Well,
soft team gets victory Mondays, and the coach gets bullied around by the players. They say, oh, wait, we got Monday off? We got Monday off?
They got Monday off.
Okay.
They coach softer than they play.
I'm just saying, that's what a soft team would do.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily make it right or wrong. That's what a soft team would do. Take a victory Monday after you just got your first win and snapped a 6-game winning losing streak. You're like, oh, okay, let's throttle back. Let's take a break against a very beatable Tennessee team.
I think a lot of teams take a victory Monday, though, no?
You don't think around the league? I think Bill would give it out periodically.
Yeah, here and there.
You know, I think probably a lot of teams do. I think a lot of teams are probably soft and poorly coached. This might be another one.
Do you think if they had just won and he didn't step in it, he would have given them the Monday off?
I don't know.
Yeah, see,
they gave him a Gatorade bath after he won his first game, Keith. I mean,
that was on the players. Every
win is like a little party in there.
Yeah, they did get excited. You hear Ty Law this morning. He's like, I'm not really sure why they stormed the field after the. he's like, that was a bit much. He's like, they got really excited about it. And, Yeah, that's the thing is, like, they beat a horrible team. They are still a horrible team.
Yep.
They had to win. Last year in the NFL, Carolina won 2 games. That was the worst record in the league. Everybody else won 4 or more. Doesn't mean there was only one bad team. No bad teams, right?
There's like tons of bad teams.
Like, you can win 3 or 4 games and be horrible. And that might, that's what I think the Patriots are going to be. But no, I don't look at it as the end of the world. I think this is sort of like, all right, let's sort of refresh. It's the literal midway point of the season. Take the day, come back. And then maybe you'll also see if this works too. Like, it's sort of a trial for Mayo. Like, is the team focused and ready to go for Tennessee? And if they are, maybe they deserve more of these kind of rewards.
If they don't,
then maybe you do have to change your approach.
That's what I was going
to
say. Yeah. I think we're going to know. I mean, if they come out and they look like they're building off this win, which do you think they'll build off it? 617-779-7937. I thought maybe with Tennessee on the schedule, but I don't like this. If they come out and blow doors, then I'll back off and I'll say, okay, I was wrong about that. If they come out and look flat, I'll wonder if they worked hard enough this week. So you can jump in on that. Are you feeling any better? I think you know my answer based on what
no,
we just illustrated.
Nope.
But are you feeling any better about Jerod Mayo? Like, it was a real low point last week, and the team responded to a degree. I said all yesterday, I don't want to overstate it. They still were run on by Breece Hall. They still gave up a go-ahead score. They still couldn't run, although they punched in a touchdown at the end of the game, the most important run from a half a yard away. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go too far with the playing for Mayo thing and answering being called out by Mayo, but they did win, and that speaks to his pull in the room to some degree. They didn't outright check out and quit on him.
Yeah.
Are you feeling any better about Jerod Mayo?
I mean, I think you have to feel slightly better because it's not 1-7 and another loss, and specifically when he says what he says about the team, and then if they just follow that up with a loss, you'd have to feel worse. But, like, I don't feel great. Nobody in the world is be like, hey, they won now, so whew, like, he's a good coach. Like, I feel great about Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel great about Jerod Mayo. But that also, the big difference there is, before the season started, I felt pretty good about Drake May, and I did not feel all that great about Jerod Mayo. I didn't like the hire.
But hang on. But you feel better about May than when the season started, right?
Yes.
And you feel worse about Mayo than when the season started.
Yeah, but I also didn't feel great about Mayo, my point.
But I agree.
Yeah, I feel a little bit worse, but I also, like, the bar was so low.
The gap has gotten bigger, is my
point. Oh, the gap is widened. Yeah, yeah, like, where if you ask anybody, like, hey, do they have a coach and a quarterback? I'm like, yeah, they got a quarterback. I don't know about the coach.
Yeah.
I don't know what his thing is. Like, I'll keep going back to that. He's not a offensive genius, clearly, but he's not a defensive genius. Like, when Bill first took over, years and years, like, way before he won Super Bowls as a head coach, even when he was in Cleveland, like, when he was hired in Cleveland, they were like, the guy was the D coordinator for the Giants that won Super Bowl. Like, he was a defensive genius then. And then it sort of morphed into being, like, this all-around head coach. Mayo was the inside linebacker coach for a couple of years on a team that was only good against bad offenses.
Right, thank you. On a team that wasn't really
only
all
beat
that good.
Bad quarterbacks.
Right.
So, but I mean, it doesn't mean that, like, oh, he'll never be good. Like, maybe he will be, but I don't know what his main thing is. And is it motivating the players? Like, I don't know. Pretty hard to tell. Doesn't look like that's the case. Players coach, which is something that even he kind of pushes back on. Last week he certainly didn't feel like a player's coach at all. So yeah, I'm still waiting to see what his thing is. But I don't know how you can feel, even though they got the win, I don't know how you can feel, like, great about Jerod Mayo.
So are you feeling any better about Jerod Mayo? And can the Patriots build off this victory? I don't like the victory Monday they got yesterday. So you guys can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. And before you think it's just me being a negative Nancy, which I am, Mike Reese doesn't like it either. Can they handle prosperity? One win in, you know, a month and a half. Can they handle it? You guys can jump in on that. Again, not all Patriots all day long. We'll get to the Celtics later on. Good win for them. 4-0 start. Tatum squarely in the MVP mix. We got Tier Tuesday. We got Tommy Tuesday with Tom Curran. Kiefer Madness. Plus, we'll get to the comeback on Netflix. All our takeaways from that. 2004, 20-year anniversary. We'll revisit coming up at 11. Jacoby Brissett, is he possibly going to keep this job if the Patriots keep winning? And also, we'll get into the trade deadline. It started yesterday by moving Joshua Uche. How active will the deadline be for the Patriots?
Well, I think, look, when you have a good team, I think if you can acquire an asset for not without giving up a lot, that's a good move. What did they give for Uche?
Sixth.
Okay. So Uche is at the end of his contract this year. He'll be a free agent. If they don't re-sign him, then they'll get a comp pick, which would probably be a sixth anyway. So really, they didn't give up anything. other than they would have to wait a year to get that pick back. So I assume it was a 25-6th. It was a 26-6th, and honestly, then they didn't give up anything in my mind. And then if you like the player and re-sign him, then you re-sign him. Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, you know, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him.
Bill is unbelievable.
He's pretty great. I mean, Uche was really good 2 years ago.
Really good. He even kind of couldn't help himself. He's like, yeah, they did have Judon. So he's like, I think he's trying to talk up that, like, he put together two good pass rushers. Yeah, but also you're pointing out that Uche is nothing without Judon. Because what happened last year?
True.
Uche sucked last year.
I guess if you think about it a lot, yes. But I think what he's saying
is... It is a pro-Bill thing. Yeah, yeah.
Elliot Wolf traded away. I wouldn't have traded away
Judon. There was all their pass rush.
And by the way, Uche was really good 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it a little bit, but good point by you.
Yeah.
So Uche is nothing without Judon is what Bill's saying. And what I would say is, 2 years ago, and he's not doing much this year. How was he last year, Bill, when you coached him? Stunk.
It's awful.
Three sacks. We were talking about trading him a year ago.
He signed for a song to come back. He got nothing. Great tweet that Andy Hart retweeted. Matt Couture, in response to Bill Belichick talking about how they gave up nothing for Josh Uche, and he wrote, if a sixth for Uche is giving up nothing, what is a fifth for a quality player like Shaq Mason? Like, if you really want to play that game with Bill, like what you gave up to get players, what you got in return for certain players, like, I don't know. Like, I would say the main reason you're no longer the coach is because you were a bad GM by the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's the bigger issue. And now you're critiquing all these trades. It's hilarious.
It was not a good trade, and they didn't get anything for Uche.
He's not a good player.
Okay, I don't care, right? The point is, I don't really care, but if all you're getting is a sixth rounder in 2 years, you might as well just cut the guy.
Well, that's not
is my stance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But fine. You got something, and you could say you got something. Yeah. Legitimately getting nothing for a player, Bill, is letting Tom Brady walk to Tampa Bay. That's legitimately getting nothing for a player.
Yeah, you got
so,
nothing.
So, like, careful with that is all I would say.
That's true.
But, man, I look back. That draft actually wasn't horrible. I wanted to go back and really, like, relitigate.
The Uche draft?
The Uche draft.
All right.
It wasn't as bad as you thought. Like, Onwenu was in there.
That was one of the decent. Duggar
was in there.
All right.
There was another decent player in there. I wanted to rip apart that draft. But it wasn't one of his worst. The Uche thing, though. It's
Anthony
like,
Jennings?
Thank you. That was the other decent player that was in that draft.
Right. So okay, they got Duggar, Uche, Jennings. They traded up. They took, in the third round, the two tight ends, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene.
But
they took the racist kicker.
Yeah. But for Bill Belichick, he hit on like three useful players.
No, he had four. He drafted four NFL players that year.
Oh, yeah. If you count Uche, give him a fourth. I guess you got to count him. Yeah.
No, Duggar, Uche, Jennings, Onwenu.
I wasn't initially counting Uche, but you're right.
He had one good year.
Look, for Bill, that's by far not anywhere near his worst
draft. It was a good follow-up to N'Keal Harry, Juwan Williams, and Chase Winovich.
Yeah. Like, that is a gold star draft compared to some of the other ones he's had.
Yeah, true.
But,
and then he followed
that.
Anyway.
No, I
go down that road.
I find that to be amusing that they moved up for him in that draft. Right, they moved
Boucher,
back.
Yes.
They moved back to take Duggar. They passed on, I want to say, like Jordan Love and players like this in that draft. I think Justin Jefferson went right before them. So they moved back, and they ultimately settled on Duggar, and then moved back up to get Uche. Mm-hmm. And I just think that shows the faulty logic in moving back. Like, you can just stay and pick in the first round and get your guy, as opposed to let's move back a little bit here and then we'll move up there and start playing that game. All the guys they move up for were terrible.
Yeah, there's some good players in that draft. I remember I wanted Jalen Hurts. That's not revisionist history. You can go check the archives.
I liked Hurts in that draft. I like loving that. I like most of the quarterbacks in that draft. That was a great quarterback draft.
Yeah, no, it was. Also, you know who was in that draft too? It was Trayvon Diggs. You see him squawking at some guy?
I did. He told.
Screaming at some reporter. He's like, you can't do what I do. It's like, right.
Yeah, no, we got that.
I thought I'm not a good corner like you. I don't know if you're a good corner.
Didn't he drop a D's nuts as well?
He did.
I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Which he gets the win there.
That's a win.
That's a win for Trayvon Diggs.
Anytime you're dropping that, you can't lose.
He smoked him with a D's nuts. So that would be. Yeah, he was like really fired up. They were like in the tunnel and he was like screaming at a reporter about like, I don't know, like not being able to play the game or something. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, we don't. There's a reason.
Not as good.
We talk on the radio.
Not as good, although you're very overrated. But
we write in the newspaper. You're the professional player. We don't claim to be professional players.
No.
But then our job is to critique you.
Yeah, well, check out D's. I'm not falling for it, Trayvon. I'm not falling for it.
I said D's.
It was a walk-off, though. It was the last thing he said to him.
Yeah.
It was D's nuts.
It's kind of a binding contract. When you ask for D's, you kind of...
No! Get back here! I want to say something else.
But so, Uchay, why did he want back? Like,
why did he come back here?
Yeah, this is something I'm curious about, because all the beat writers claim, I'm skeptical of it, but all the beat writers claim he could have gotten more elsewhere. Which feels
is that
to me,
right?
Well, yeah. That's
no, I know that's what they're claiming, but that's my response. Is that right?
He could have just gotten more elsewhere.
He liked the winning that was going on here. He liked the... What? No, there wasn't really... There probably wasn't a lot of options out there, would be my guess.
That's what I think. So, like, this claim that he could have gotten more, okay, maybe, or is that just agent spin? That'd be my guess. Why'd he come back? Why did they want him back? Like, this whole experience, it never made sense. He got no money on a one-year deal to come back. He was never really going to play.
And his contract year was
an odd approach.
He screwed that up.
Yeah.
He was good 2 years, or he was good a year too early.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know how good he was. He just had good numbers because Judon was on the other side wreaking havoc. And that's fine.
Bill would say.
And so, I mean, I wouldn't rule out him having a couple of big plays for Kansas City. And then people would be like, oh my God, we had that guy. It's like, yeah, we had that guy. But on his own, he wasn't really going to do that much.
No.
And I do think you might as well shake things up a little bit if you're Elliot Wolf. You know, not that you're, you know, a future sixth is like getting much in return. But for me, a lot of the moves that they might make in the next week and a half is more to free up spots and opportunities for other players. And like, not that you have a loaded roster, but you have like a lot of guys that are all kind of like the same. Like we talk about in the receiver room a lot. Like there's nothing really separating a lot of these guys too much. So maybe just, you know, make it easier for Mayo and get rid of some of them.
I still hope there's a buying opportunity out there for them. Like I don't mind moving off Uchay, Godchow, our guy Kendrick Bourne, KJ Osborne for sure. Like I'm fine moving off all those guys. Really regardless of what you get in return, but ideally if you're moving a guy like Godchild, like a little something back, but fine, whatever. I don't think any of those guys are all that great. I don't need any of them on the team. I hope they're looking to add as well, like a long-term piece potentially, and we'll see if they do that, but they're already expected to be active. They're listening on all offers, according to many reports, open for business, as Burt Breer put it. So that was the first domino yesterday. We'll see what they do leading up to the trade deadline a week from today in the NFL. 617-779-7937. Courtney missed her nine-leg parlay by...
Two.
By two legs, but it was effectively the same box that needed to get checked.
So we went through her entire nine-leg parlay, the parlay princess, took a stab Monday Night Football, Steelers-Giants.
Yeah.
And she had nine legs. We went over them yesterday, and the two that missed, like you said, were the same one.
I scoffed a little.
You scoffed. Didn't she even said all the ones that Jones kind of scoffed at kind of hit.
Yeah.
So George Pickens didn't get an anytime touchdown. I guess he had one or maybe even two called back as a penalty.
I saw the one. I didn't realize the second one.
There was a face mask, and then he got the same foot down twice.
I was more locked in on the Celtics.
He had a sick catch at the end of the game, too, he went out of bounds.
That's a good throw by Wilson. Oh, the one that was out of bounds.
No. He caught it, and then he ran out of bounds because of his momentum. But
another play where you're watching it in real time with your ninth leg and you're like, come on, baby!
Because she needed one more Russell Wilson touchdown pass, and then obviously you would have gotten that with Pickens.
It's the same box to check. Pickens anytime. And
unless
Russell
they hate it to Pickens.
Well, that's true. So
demoralizing.
I think our pal Jay in North Carolina wants to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Jay.
All right.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I heard you singing. Keep your radio jobs.
Fair.
We're secure.
We're trying. We're doing our best.
Hey, listen, I watched that game last night. After the first quarter, there were more flags thrown. I know the Giants and the Steelers had their problems, but they're not that bad. And then the guy got mauled and pass interference, no call. Then it was out of bounds by 10 feet and got hit. No personal foul called. I said that was when I shut the game off. I mean, the referees, worst refereeing crew I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. Well,
how about that?
Last night, people up in arms about, I get it if you had a nine-leg parlay, but people up in arms about Pickens, like, oh, you got his same foot in twice? Why does that, that's not the rule. Why does that matter that you got your same foot in twice?
Well, you
got
to play by the rules.
You need both.
Jalen Polk still arguing about the touchdown that he should have had.
Thank you. You sound exactly like Jalen Polk. Like, I don't get the outrage over that. I'll tell you what I was outraged about last night. You see, Daboll went for two down eight.
Yeah, so this I think people are like, they're going crazy. So the Patriots one, I disagree with, but I get the other argument. This one, I really don't.
Get both by the math, but then it's not, you're not playing math, you're playing football, and there's other aspects to it. So, like, I get the math in both of them.
No, but the one last night, So they're just going for the win, I guess, if they score again, right?
Yeah, the logic is if you get a one of your two. By the way, the Giants on the year are 0-for-4 on 2-point conversions.
Wait, because what were they down? They were down 14?
Yeah.
And then he went for two?
They were, yes, correct.
To be fair, if any of the five linemen block the one guy, it's a 2-point conversion.
I'm just saying, I would be much more outraged about that than any officials last night.
You didn't love that play that they ran?
The play was fine. None of the five offensive linemen moving when the ball was snapped.
Well,
was
you got to have your head on a swivel.
Okay.
You got to know the snap count. You got to look. You can look over. That's the beauty of being like a receiver out there. You can look in. Oh, there's the ball. Oh, it's snapped. Now I can move.
I understand.
Five guys to block one. And
I understand
moved.
The math. I get the math. But you're not playing math, you're playing football. And to be down a score, to me, seems more valuable than let's play this game where, hey, let's go for it, let's do this, let's try to get the win, to me.
Yeah, unless maybe they're thinking, you know, we're not going to be able to get as many stops or as many scores, I guess.
I get it.
You're odd.
You haven't converted a 2-point conversion all year. You're,
take the point.
At that point, they were 0-for-3. After not converting there, they're 0-for-4. Like, maybe you just suck at 2-point conversions, and you should just take the point.
I don't know. I liked when they
had... If you were really good offensively...
swinging gate to the left or whatever the hell that was.
Okay, but like, if you were a really good offensive team...
They're not.
Yeah.
No.
Then maybe I would get it. You're the Detroit Lions. Go for two every time. No one can stop you. That's fine. You're Daniel Jones and the Giants without Saquon Barkley, and you can't get 2-point conversions, maybe don't go for two.
Didn't Chip
maybe
Kelly,
don't do that.
When Chip Kelly was first at Oregon, didn't they go for two like every
all
time?
The time?
Like
yeah.
All the time, they'd line up crazy, then
good,
they'd go for it.
Good offense.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah,
they,
it's
they,
an offense that was good at scoring
yeah.
points that's and good true. At getting in the end zone.
No, that's
not
fair.
The Giants.
That's fair.
So I can cry about the officials, Jay in North Carolina, that's fine. And if I had a 9-leg parlay, trust me, I would. But
oh,
when, it,
steaming.
When it comes to the actual outrage for the game last night, I'd start with Daboll, who's probably about to lose his job.
Yeah, I just feel like the refs suck all the time in every sport, and you just try to hope for the best, and hopefully it's not too one-sided. That's kind of what I go. I go in expecting there to be bad calls, and just, you know, hopefully you don't lose your mind.
Fair. 617-779-7937. How active should the Patriots be at the trade deadline? We discussed the Patriots building off this Jets win. Can they build off of it? You feeling any better about Jerod Mayo? Now the Patriots picked up a second victory after he called the team soft and then promptly rewarded them with a victory Monday. We'll continue to get into that. I listened to Jacoby Brissett yesterday on WEI
Same.
Afternoons with Arcan and Hart.
Uh-huh.
He had a bold claim about his talent level.
Yeah.
Are we being too hard on Jacoby Brissett? And is there a chance he can keep this job? Let's get to it next.
You feel like you're one of the 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in the NFL?
That's very easy.
Is that a yes, I should assume?
Oh, yes. That's very easy to understand that.
I like Jacoby Brissett there. I love it. Am I top 32? Yeah, no, it's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy.
Easy what?
Good follow-up by Hart.
Yes?
You're like, can you explain it to us like we're five? Because nobody else thinks you are. So I get why.
I am top 32.
If I was Jacoby Brissett.
There's not 32 guys better than me.
There's 52. I think that I would be very prickly too.
Yeah.
Like I would be so, like nobody wants to see him play. He finally gets benched. He has to come back in and he wins and people still don't want to see him play. So he has the right to feel any way he wants. He's actually way more polite than I would certainly be in these situations. Post game,
yeah, he's a little
radio.
He's a little prickly,
but not too much.
No. I agree. He's there's a little bit of edge, but look,
he should have confidence.
You
should think he's good.
You played pretty well. People dumped all over you, myself included.
Yeah,
hand up. We have crapped all over him,
and we'll continue to do so because I don't want to see him play ever again.
No, me either. But so, like, this is your chance to be a little prickly
good.
And talk your talk, and go ahead and do it. Yeah.
And I think you know the answer. It's a fair question. It's an obvious answer, though. Like, what is he going to say? Like, nope, I'm just lucky to be in the league. He should feel that way, but he's not. He's not one of the 32 best quarterbacks.
Just for the record,
there are a lot of bad quarterbacks, actually.
No,
but I don't think he's one of the 32 best.
Top 32. You can be like top 80 and have a job in the league.
Yeah,
he thinks he's top 32. He thinks he should be starting.
That right. No, but that's also why he picked the Patriots.
Nah.
He wouldn't have started out of the chute anywhere else. Where would he have started?
Yeah,
we did this exercise, I think, in the offseason. Nowhere.
Yeah.
He would have been third string in Pittsburgh.
That's true.
There's no place he would have started because even Sam Darnold, and he's playing pretty well, but everywhere else,
we talked about this. Vegas, maybe Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
He might have beat out Will Levis.
Fine, but whatever. Yeah, well,
no, but no, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He could argue that he's better than
Will Levis. He would have been better than Will Levis. They probably still would have started.
Correct.
Will Levis.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he would have started anywhere. Then you get into the semantics. Well, are the 32 best quarterbacks the 32 starters? No, because you might have an example where a team might have two or whatever, and these different young guys. But like Will Levis would have started. Yeah, you're right. Vegas is maybe the only one, and it's Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and Jacoby Brissett. So like, if you threw those guys in the pile, it's like, all right, best man. It's like the scene in The Dark Knight. You hand him a pencil, and you're like, one guy's getting out of here. I still think Minshew would have won that job. I prefer probably. Minshew. But regardless, and there are a lot of teams with bad quarterbacks, so maybe he's the 32nd best quarterback. I don't even think so, though. I don't either. Yeah, I don't think so. But
whatever.
I'd be shocked if he didn't
prickly.
Feel that way.
Yeah, this is why he's prickly.
This should be a little victory lap for him.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. Not me.
You should be like, I've won the two games that the team has won. Like, I've been the quarterback for.
I just wonder if he feels like the job should be his. Because the whole idea with Jacoby Brissett was he's perfect for this team. He won't care if he's the backup.
So I don't think anybody's actually perfect for it.
He won't care if Drake May beats him out.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't think it does either.
Because these guys are in the NFL and they have started games. They said the same thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami. All he's going to want to do is mentor Tua and he's going to be great. No, he wants to play. They all want to play. He was pissed.
Maybe the McCowns. The McCowns love
the flying McCowns.
Yeah, the McCowns love backing people up.
And their older brother Randy, who never made the league.
Was there a Randy?
Three McCowns. Yeah, he played at A&M. Three flying McCowns. Okay. Josh and Luke had some NFL run. Randy McCown, poor guy. not the same.
Randy McCown.
You looking at Randy McCown?
American football player, Texas A&M.
A&M. Huh. Kick some ass there. Pre Manziel. He predates Johnny Manziel.
Randy football is what they call it.
Randy football.
That was him.
The 30 for 30 on him is special.
Yeah.
But no, all these guys want to play. So even Fitzpatrick and even Brissett, like they want to play. And then they're out there and then you take it away from them. It's not like they started the year as the backup and then went in because of injury or whatever. They started and then had to be benched.
Yeah.
And so like when Fitzpatrick got benched years ago with Miami, they had won like back-to-back games and he was pissed.
Here's my thing with Brissett yesterday. If Brissett's prickly with Hart and Arcan, fine. Or if any media member, I get it. Like we've dumped all over him. Is he like that in the facility? Is he like that with the coaching staff? Is he like that to Drake May? That I would be interested in and or care about. So I just wonder if this is just a media thing because we've doubted him and we've been mean to him and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like you want to settle that score? Go ahead. Is this how you are in the building? Because the whole idea is you're this great guy and this great teammate, and you'll go along with ever in the betterment of the team, and that's part of the reason you're here. Is he actually that? I'm curious. Sidebar topic.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's very beatable this weekend. I don't think Drake May is going to play. I hope he plays, but I don't think he's going to.
There's a chance, right?
No,
but
definitely
you got to be out of the concussion protocol for so many hours. I forgot.
Traditionally, it's five steps to get out of the concussion protocol. Traditionally, and this is just paint by numbers. Traditionally, you get a concussion that week, you miss the following week.
Yeah.
That's largely how it goes. That's not hard and fast. That's largely how it goes. I believe no quarterback has clear concussion protocol and then played the following week this season. In 2024, that has not happened. And it's one thing to miss a few meetings if you're a wide receiver or an edge rusher or something like that, not be locked into everything all week. The quarterback's a little more important. So my guess is May's not going to play. If I'm wrong about that, I'm wrong about that.
Yeah.
But the point is, let's say Brissett starts again. Let's say he wins.
Yeah.
He's won two straight.
Mm-hmm.
He's won all three games as a starting quarterback. Is there a chance he keeps playing until he loses again?
I would pull him so fast his head would spin.
Okay.
Like, you are done. And so, well, here's the thing.
You would.
I would play Drake May right away. I think they would, too, because they've made that decision to go to Drake May. And Drake May's played well.
He's played very well.
He's played very well.
Look, I agree with you.
My guess,
my question isn't what you and I would do. It's what they would do.
I don't think they would because I think the offense is pretty limited with Brissett, and we've seen that. And even in the game yesterday, great final drive and all that stuff, but I think you're only getting so much with Jacoby Brissett. Like, you're getting 120 yards passing. There's really not much. He had the one scramble against Cincinnati. Actually, even
he had a scramble last week.
Take it back.
He needs to rest his legs. That's what it is. He has a whole offseason resting his legs. He's running around like crazy against
Cincinnati. Give him a month off that he can run again.
Her legs are recharged against the Jets.
No, but I just think barring some sort of mirror, even if he goes out there and slings it, I think they would change it back. But like, even if they beat Tennessee, don't you think it's going to be mostly Ramondre? I mean, he has two touchdown passes in like six or seven games.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance?
If they win two straight?
Yeah, but I mean, May got him started. It wasn't like May didn't play, and May played well.
I know, but they were down when he left the game.
If May was more shaky, I think this could be a debate. I don't think it'll even be a debate. I think they just go right back to Drake May.
I don't think it should be. I would go back to Drake. The second Drake May's out of concussion protocol, this week, next week, a month, I go back to him.
Ready for this one?
Yeah.
Whose call is it? Is it Van Pelt's call? Is it Mayo's call? Is it Kraft's call? Who makes the call?
Probably Kraft.
Probably
Kraft. Well, I mean, maybe Mayo
says. That's an odd question.
Maybe Mayo says, ooh, we've won two in a row. Let's go with Jacoby Brissett. And that trickles his way up to Kraft. And he's like, we're not doing that.
I think most teams, if they're bad teams that go on like a little mini heater like this, I think the players would be like, hey, don't change it. Not this case. I think this is an example
May's
where they'd
been
be like,
so clearly better. The players are like, yeah, we want Drake.
And they'd be like, hey, Jacoby, great job as a backup. Like, you come in and win a couple of games in relief. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But now you're the
backup.
You're
totally top 32, man.
We got 32 quarterbacks.
We got two of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league.
Jacoby might be the 30th best, but Drake May is like the 16th best.
Yeah, right.
So, like, you go with that guy.
I like this. 37937. It's a clubhouse issue. Jacoby thinks he's good. Polk thinks he has the best hands. Everybody thinks they're star receivers. It's a good point.
They are very confident.
Jacoby Brissett may not be exempt from the... He's like an honorary receiver, the way he talks about himself.
My thought, if they have like a team psychiatrist, and I bet they do, that person's doing a great job.
they're like,
hey, you need to be confident in yourself. They're like, hell yeah!
Yeah, I do.
Real confident.
Yeah, I do.
You're the best to ever do it. Like, yes, I am.
617-779-7937. Any chance Jacoby keeps his job? And is he a top 32 quarterback in the league? You can get into that. 617-779-7937. A lot of Patriots talk in the first hour. I want to get back into, and we've referenced it in passing a few different times, the comeback on Netflix. If you've seen it, dial us up. We want your thoughts on it. What did you like? What didn't you like? What was missing? What should they have done more of? We'll give you all our thoughts. Netflix special from Dan Le Batard on the Red Sox rallying back from a 3-0 deficit to win four in a row against the Yankees in 2004. All of our thoughts on that next.